Hello and welcome to my Quantum Living Show, a hack to happiness and success. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. You will find here information, inspirations, tips, hacks, and insights on how to live a happy and fulfilling life in sync with the universe at the intersection of science and spirituality. A unique and mysterious dimension I call quantum living, where you can create your world and manifest your reality from within. Knowing and applying the principles of quantum living is a foolproof and elegant hack to happiness, fulfillment, abundance, and success. Curious? Okay, let's begin. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Thank you for tuning in. If you listened to my previous 11 episodes, you will notice that I have changed the title of my show, as the previous one was still missing something for me. So, the new title of my show is Quantum Living, a Hack to Happiness and Success. And I will talk more about it in the next episode. Today's topic is, you could say, very timely. Not that anyone would want to think or talk about stress during the festive season, which, while festive, is rarely relaxing, and that is entirely our own fault. This is, by the way, an excellent example illustrating my point, which I'm still going to make, that about 95% of the stress we experience is self-imposed. And so we need to worry only about the remaining 5% that we are suddenly faced with. Did I say worry? That's how we create stress. We begin to worry about something, usually a future, unpredictable event, over which we have no control, as I will explain in a moment. Okay, let's talk about stress. What it is, how it is triggered, and why it is the final frontier. And of course, as usual, I will give you a few very practical and useful and very effective techniques and strategies to keep it under control. Stress is an important part of our biology. It serves a purpose when we are faced with a life-threatening situation. The sympathetic nervous system kicks in, taking control of all body functions, preparing us to fight, flight, or freeze in a blink of an eye. Once the threat is gone, the parasympathetic system is activated, counteracting the effects of stress and restoring the body back to its normal state. When our stress response becomes frequent, however, mainly to the many false alarms, it sets up a chronic stress where the body does not have the time to recover from one stress response before another, and that's when the benefits of stress end and health problems begin. The title of this episode, by the way, Stress, the Final Frontier, is not incidental. Prolonged and chronic stress can actually kill. So let's have a look at what triggers stress. There are three types of stress that put our biological system into an emergency survival mode, and you could visualize them as three large circles I am drawing on a whiteboard, in a way that they form a triangle, with two smaller circles at the bottom and one large circle at the top. One of the bottom circles is physical stress, caused by injury, illness, infection, surgery, exhaustion, extreme temperatures, sound, light, and sun exposure, lack of sleep, starvation, dehydration, poor oxygenation, and obesity. Another one, smaller circle at the bottom, is chemical stress, caused by poor nutrition, lack of essential vitamins and minerals, toxins from food, water, and the environment, hormonal imbalance, drugs, both legal and illegal, alcohol, cigarettes, vaccinations, and excessive acidity of the system. And now, the big circle at the top, emotional stress, which is caused by negative thoughts and emotions, both expressed and bottled up. And now put yourself into this imaginary triangle and see how much each type of stress affects you. Now, physical stress and chemical stress are easy to control and manage, as their triggers are usually external and predictable. For example, when your body's health is disrupted by an injury or toxins like nicotine, there are clear steps you can take to restore the balance, treat the injury, and stop smoking, which in turn will dissipate the stress hormones flowing through your veins. So, let's focus here on emotional stress. I propose that there are three main categories of emotional stress linked to the passage of time. Firstly, there is worry, fear, and anxiety about the future. Secondly, negative emotional attachments to the past, such as guilt, shame, anger, blame, hatred, depression, and grief. And finally, negative emotional reactions in the present moment, which express our inability to effectively deal with present situations. I'll say it one more time. Negative emotional reactions in the present moment, which reflect and express our inability to effectively deal with present situations, such as people and situations pushing our ego buttons, traffic, conflicts, delays, undesired outcomes, long-term challenging situations arising unexpectedly in relation to health, family, relationships, finances, or career. Short-term challenges such as overwhelm, pressure, deadlines, and being stuck on the problem with no solution in sight. And negative self-talk, poor self-confidence and self-esteem. These types of emotion include impatience, frustration, anger, rage, anxiety, worry, depression, and fear. It is important to realize that, except for the life-threatening situations when our nervous system is in charge, our emotional stress response to life is conditional, which means that we are in control. By changing the meaning of the triggers and desensitizing ourselves to them, we can stop those false stress alarms. So, how do we keep it under control? Just like with most life strategies, this one is quite simple and yet difficult to implement. Why? Because it is asking us to do something we don't really want to do. It encroaches on our emotional addictions that we love so much and requires some effort and mental discipline. I talked about emotional addictions in the previous episode, number 10, if you would like to revisit it. So, I will give you three simple hacks I recommend to my clients to keep their emotional stress under control, and they relate to the three types of stress I talked earlier on, linked to the past, present, and future. The first two are straightforward, the third one is further broken down. So here they are. Do not dwell on past negative experiences. Well, that seems to be a no-brainer, and yet it is so common. So don't, whether they took place 20 years ago, 2 months ago, or 1 hour ago. Every time you recall a negative experience from the past, you create the same negative emotions that produce the same stress hormones damaging your body as they did back then. This is a little known fact which is extremely important to remember. I'll repeat it. Every time you recall a negative experience from the past, you create the same negative emotions that produce the same stress hormones damaging your body as they did back then. Now, the past cannot be undone, no matter how many sleepless nights you invest in it. Forgive yourself and others for what happened, break the energetic attachments to those events, and move on. Next, do not worry about the future. It is absolutely pointless. Ask yourself, is this future scenario within my control? If it is, take whatever action is needed to ensure the outcome you want. If it is not, your worry is only a waste of time, since there is nothing you can do about it, and the negative outcome you worry about may in fact never eventuate. So focus on the glass half full instead of half empty if you must, or just leave it, let go, and simply be prepared. The best advice you can follow here is a common throwaway line, don't worry about it. I love it. And finally, build your resilience to deal with the challenges of life by taking these few simple steps. Take time out for yourself regularly. Meditate daily, this is most important. Do a yoga class, listen to relaxing music, have a full body massage, spend some time in nature, go for a walk. Take care of any unresolved negative emotions, such as anger, fear, guilt, blame, and shame. They produce a host of related emotional responses, including frustration, judgment, criticism, hatred, anxiety, and depression that ultimately lead to self-sabotage. Uncover and deal with any negative beliefs such as, I am not loved, I am not good enough, I don't belong. As these create very sensitive buttons in your interface with the world, waiting to be touched and triggered to finally explode. Develop a positive, kind, and accepting attitude to life. Become oblivious to people and situations that ruffle your feathers. If someone or something did not or does not meet your expectations, so what? Your life still goes on. I can hear you say, easier said than done. Well, yes, I know that, but I also know that it is possible to reduce our emotional reactions to such situations with practice, self-observation, and self-discipline, if that's our objective, with the end game of reducing stress. It's worth it, I promise. Seek professional help if needed. Talk to a coach, counselor, your doctor. Life is not meant to be a struggle. There's always a helping hand. Breathe. Your breath is a key to your emotional state, and yet most of us don't utilize it sufficiently. Whenever you feel stressed, slow down and deepen your breath. And better still, you can use this very effective and quick strategy to lower your stress levels in an emotional crisis, which I talked about in one of the earlier episodes. Imagine you are breathing through your heart, or your heart energy center in the middle of your chest. Just imagine that you are actually breathing through your heart. Research shows that this technique switches very quickly within a couple of minutes. The sympathetic nervous system responds to the parasympathetic, stopping the secretion of stress hormones into the bloodstream. The HeartMath Institute recommends this as the quick coherence technique for adults, and you will find a link to the website in the show notes. Conflict and challenging situations do not induce stress. Our interpretation of them determines whether we respond or react to them. As the late Dr. Wayne Dyer said, when you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice, of course. And why does orange juice come out? Because it's there. When we respond, we choose what and how we say and do. Our critical judgment and assessment are involved, and what we externalize goes through a number of internal filters. It is measured, if you like, with our thought. On the other hand, when we react to a situation, Our feedback bypasses the critical mind and any filters we may have and comes out on a wave of emotions. An emotional reaction is self-feeding too, and so your stress response can easily spiral out of control. Think of road rage as a classic example. Someone cuts you off on a freeway, pushing the button of your precious ego, which takes it as an opportunity to vent your suppressed anger, blame, fear, and a host of other negative emotions in a blinding rage in which you could literally kill the offender for cutting you off on a freeway. So what could you do instead in this situation? Once you have mastered the skill of self-observation, you'll be able to catch yourself in that moment of the rising rage and stop the reaction. Instead, you would take a few deep breaths, focus on the traffic, safety and the road, and your response would be your thought, "Never mind, it's not worth it." And your life goes on. While some stress is a normal part of life, keeping it to the bare minimum is of paramount importance, given its damaging long-term effects on our body and mind. I call stress the final frontier. Why? Stress has been long recognized as a contributing factor to many health problems that people suffer from. I would like to radically expand on this view and propose that stress is the cause of the majority, if not all, health malfunctions in the body. That's right, the very cause, due to the impact on the body of the steroid hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, and others, secreted during stress and their flow-on effects through the increased acidity levels. Without getting too medical or technical here, I'd like to share with you some key important facts, key impacts of stress on your physical and mental state, which in time can create all kinds of disease in the human body, from Hashimoto's and cancer to allergies and weight gain. When your body's intelligence is focused on self-preservation, fight or flight, live or die, nothing else matters at the time. Your body systems and functions non-essential to the fight or flight response are altered or suppressed. The digestive system, reproductive system, immune system, and all growth and repair processes except for the open wound repair if you are in a fight. Adrenaline is pumping to give you endurance and strength, as well as to decrease any feeling of pain. In chronic stress, all functions governed by these systems are continuously impaired, and your cells and organs are more prone to illness and disease. The body systems that are fully engaged in stress soon become overtaxed: cardiovascular, respiratory, your muscles, joints and bones, endocrine system, and nervous system. During stress, blood is being redirected away from the frontal cortex to the sensory and motor centers in the brain. Your ability to think, analyze, comprehend, and remember in a stressful state is significantly impaired. We all have experienced this. When you are stressed out, you just can't think straight. Some people believe that there is a link between chronic stress and Alzheimer's disease. Stress will affect your eyesight. All natural methods to improve your vision include stress reduction. When you became nearsighted as soon as you started school, or even earlier, that's not because your eyeballs got suddenly elongated, as some bizarre medical theory says. That's not true. This happens due to the physical stress on your eye muscles, forced to keep a short focus on books and screen devices for several hours a day, and an emotional stress linked to your schooling experience. Your eyes are designed to see 20 kilometers ahead. Can you see that far without glasses? Drastic chemical changes caused by stress affect your DNA in a way that can activate dormant genes, such as cancer genes, that most people have. What's even more eye-opening is the growing research findings that stress actually shortens our chromosomes, which contain our genes and DNA, by wearing out the protective tips at both ends, which, as a result, rapidly shortens our lifespan. No kidding. Stress hormones create acidosis, an excessive blood acidity which in itself creates a whole myriad of health issues such as ulcers, cancers, arthritis, porous bones, skin problems, and weight gain, to name just a few. Now, I am not a medical practitioner, so please check with your doctor. But I can tell you now, based on my knowledge and experience, if you have any internal health issues, anything other than physical injury, examine and closely monitor your stress levels throughout the day, week, month, and do anything you can to bring it down. Finally, it's not a well-known fact that chronic stress creates a chemical addiction to stress hormones in your body, which then craves those hormones, pushing us to create some more. I talked about this in my earlier episode on emotional addictions. This case study will illustrate my point. Halfway through our program, addressing her anxiety issues, my client admitted bravely, "Now that all my problems have been addressed and so much has changed in my life for the better, I worry, I really worry, that I have nothing to worry about." Needless to say, we knew what to focus on for the remainder of her program. That's all for today, folks. If you like this episode, please share it with others. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the show on iTunes or on my website. And if you really love it, please post a review on iTunes to encourage others to listen to it. For details about my Quantum Living coaching program, please visit my website at quantumliving.com.au. You will also find there more information about this episode in the show notes. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be well.